Well, I'm thankful for the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. When I heard this verse, I had just woke up, and it just came right to me, and that was on Monday, and it was, He maketh everything beautiful in His time. So I want us to go over and read that. It's Ecclesiastes 3, starting on verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. He hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink, enjoy the good of all of his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. God doeth it, that men should fear before Him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. You know, He has already made a way for us. But the one thing is, we have to have a preacher. We have to have teachers. But I want us to think about a preacher. A preacher must preach the word of God. The whole counsel. If you take away one part, maybe you take the shield of faith. And you say, well, it's my faith. And it's what I believe. And it's what I. You're really weakening. You're watering down truth. Because we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us. We're to just preach the word. Everybody wants to preach what they think and what they think is the right way and what they think should have happened and they should do. No, preach the word. The word of God is what is powerful. It cuts coming, it cuts going. And He said, He's the one who maketh everything beautiful, but it's in His time. And before He said that in Ecclesiastes 3, we're not going to read all of them, but you can go in there and look. He said, our times are in His hand. There was a time that you had to, a time to every purpose under the heaven. There was a time for this and a time for that, time to plant, time to root, time to pull up. But He said, all these times are in His hand. And that's how He made everything beautiful in His time. But we have to allow Him to do whatever He chooses to do. And it's preach the word. We've been hearing preach the word, preach the way. That's the first thing. No one even knows that. He said, come unto me. When He says come, what is He saying? It's an invitation. He's calling you somewhere. He didn't say, come to me, and there's this big wall there, and you can't get through. He says, right in the word of God in Matthew 11, I wrote it now, 11:28, He said, you come unto me. There's access. There's an open way. We know I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. When we talk about the way, we can go to Isaiah 11, I mean 55:11. And I say it all the time, but it's one of my favorite scriptures. His ways are not our ways. And some of the thoughts that we have in our mind, we need to know those are not God's thoughts. Now, we just believe it. How do we know that? Because we believe the true report. We believe what's been preached to us. We go, I know that's not His thoughts, but He will renew our mind. We are to present our body, what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. But the first thing says, present it, offer it, give it to God. Most people want to, you know, I've had that happen before. The enemy come and try to get you to commit suicide. He does that because you have no hope, but God is in control. And I always say, if you don't want your life, give it to God. If you don't want it, Don't take it away. Just give it to God. You don't want it anyway. Give it over to God and see what's going to happen. Because he's going to make you beautiful. He's going to do a perfect work in your life. I looked through and I thought about enter when I heard it in Bible class. He didn't say enter and block your way. Enter means there's an access. What is the access? What is that? You know, when he said, come to me, they were weary. They were heavy laden. They were burdened. They had a heavy weight on them. But because some preacher came along the way and yielded to the Spirit, we were told, if you're running this race, you must lay aside every weight, every sin, because it does so easily beset you from running this race. You have to lay it aside. You can't change it. You can't change yourself, but he's changing me. And that's what we have to be so thankful. He's changing me. We're not the same person we used to be. We are a new creation because someone preached the truth. And they said, put off the old man. Put on the new man. You're a new creation. Don't worry about the past. Let me tell you, everything is new before you. I don't know anybody who wants to wear old shoes, old this, old that. You've always loved new things. But when we have change, it's not always easy. Change is not easy. It's hard. But we have to accept it. Why? Because our time is in his hands. He's making us beautiful. He said, there is window at the top of the ark. Look up. Pray. He said, I give you another entrance. Come boldly to the throne room of grace. You get to come. Come on in. It's not saying, look, there's a beautiful throne room and there's mercy and grace in the time of need. And we look at it and we look at it and we just sit there. No, he said, come in. Come in, you are a new man. Pray in Jesus' name before the Father, wanting his perfect will in every circumstance of our life. He's the window, he's the door. He said, I am the door. Come in, open up, come on in the door. He said, open, knock on the door. If you knock, he wants to come in and sup with you. He wants to share more of God's truth with you. And I've thought about how people read the word, which is good. But there's a difference between reading the word every day and studying the word. You study it, you got a shovel and you're digging. You are digging to find the gold, the jewels that are in there. There's depths in the word of God. We can't just take one word and go, that's all it means. It's hidden. It's hidden. We must have it revealed by the power of the Holy Ghost. There are depths in the word of God. But if we listen and we have those ears to hear, he is going to show it. If you want to know, he will show it unto you. Well, I don't know anybody who likes to say burdened and crushed and under a heavy weight. There's a reason why you're having those thoughts. There's a reason why. You're heavy laden for a reason. Come unto him. Learn of him. That's who you are. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has so much long-suffering and patience for us. He loves us. In turn, we love him because he first loved us. You love the saints because he loved you the way you were. Lay aside all that sin, the unbelief. It's weary. It's holding you back on that race course. Preach what's been given to you. We are being changed. In Romans chapter 12, I wrote down, Romans chapter 12, he said, be renewed. Your mind, let it be renewed. It's got to be changed. To be renewed is changed, to fashion, to form. You're being conformed to his image. It's metamorphosis. And I looked that up and it said meta. Meta means change. Morpha means inner and outward change. Metamorphosis, just like the butterfly. You didn't see the beauty of the butterfly in the beginning. Really, all you saw was something that really looked weird. It's just this little blob. Looks like a little thing of cotton, just hanging there. But God on the inside is doing a work to change it inward and outward. That's what he's doing with his word. He's changing us from glory to glory. We had no glory of our own. He's using every circumstance, everything to change us. We get our eyes on circumstances, and I mean, I could get my eyes on thinking of even the move that Ray and them have. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's got all this. He's got it. He's going to be doing a work on the inside. He has prepared that man to come here. And when I say prepared, I thought of the bride. I wrote this down, but the bride, she made herself ready. I want you to think if Kevin went out to the field and he said, oh, it looks, you know, I know it's not ready yet. It's not ready. But I'm going to go out and I'm just going to do it because I want to get it over with. He's going to rush into it. No patience. He's just going to, so what, it rained. I'm going to go in with the combine. I'm going to do all these things. You know what it's going to be? To no profit. It's going to be a mess. People always want to change things, but they want to do the work. They want to change the circumstance. They want to change the congregation. They want to change an individual. I'm telling you, I've been going through this with my grandson. I'm glad I waited on the Lord because I can sit and I can see the very hand of God that is writing on the tables of a heart. What is the truth? What is the truth? And that's the life we all should want to live because we sat under truth. Revelation chapter 10, I want us to go over there because we have all this access. I mean, we've got the throne room, we've got the heavenlies, we're in Christ. But I want you to go to Revelation 10 because even John, he'd had to talk to him. And he says, let's go to verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, and we know seven, complete, perfect, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God, the secret plan, this secret should be finished. He hath declared to his servants, the prophets, the voice which I heard from heaven spoke unto me again. Has the Lord ever spoke to you? And then he speaks again, and he speaks again. That's because he doesn't do it all at once. Sanctification is a process, just like metamorphosis. Yes, you have to believe it is already done provisionally, but it's got to be done in practicality. You've got to be changed just like that little caterpillar. And then you see this beautiful butterfly, and I love it because it's something that was on the ground, and now it flies. To me, I even thought, I don't even know where I heard it. I think it was a message here. I think it was Graham. But it was, an eagle soars. An eagle also flies. But once that eagle flies, he gets to a certain height. And then he takes all that strength that he has, and now he does nothing. He's resting. He just stretches out those wings, and those winds and everything carries him up in the highest of highest. You have been seated in heavenly places. Yes, he is performing in you. He's doing it. He's given you the grace. We must take the grace that is given to us and believe it, receive it, and it becomes power of God unto salvation. When he told him this, he said, he declared to me, and the voice that I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go. Now look what he's saying to him. Go, take the little book. Take the little book. Remember, little is much when God is in it. Take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel or messenger, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Now he told him, he said, you go and you take the little book. Did John just stand there? I see it. I'm not going to do it. Have you ever heard people, I'm not going to do it. Let her do it. Let him do it. Now, this is between him and the Lord. He said, take it. I went. That's that thing about I will go. You know, I got a hold of Ray because I go, Ray, now where did you get that? That I will go is one word. And he very sweetly got in, sent his notes to me, showed me exactly how it was. It means yes. No hesitation. Rebecca didn't sit there and go, well, let me see. Do I really want to go? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Well, what if? And I don't know where I'm going. And she didn't. She was asked to marry someone. We've been espoused to one man. What are we going to do with it? Do you want to go? You know, to me, there's answer yes or no. Period. It's so simple when you look at it through his eyes. He walked over and he said, give me the little book. And he said to him, take it. He said, see, he says, give it to me. He said, no, you take it. Take it. It's right here. He said, you take it and you eat it up. And it shall make your belly bitter, but it shall be in your mouth sweet as honey. He said, I took that little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. Have you ever heard the word of God and it was so sweet to your taste? But then he begins to make it practical in your life. That's where a bitter time comes. We've been hearing about chewing the cud. Get all you can out of it. Keep chewing it. Meditate on it. He said, I took that little book out of his hand and I ate it up. It was in my mouth sweet as honey. Did it happen the way he was told it was going to happen? And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Notice, after I had eaten it, not just read it, not just look at it, swallow it. Let it become a part of the new man. Don't try to change the old man. You must have a double reckoning. I reckon I died with him, but now I live unto God as a new man. And he said to me, thou must prophesy. What? You just told me to eat the book. You told me it was going to this. You told me it was going to, it came to pass. Now he's telling him, he said to me, you must prophesy. You see, God gave it to him first. He put in his heart. He put it in him. He worked it in him. And he said, now I want you to give it out. You're going to prophesy. Oh, we think it might be hard to talk to one or two. Maybe 15? No, you're not. You're going to prophesy to many peoples, nations, tongues, kings, He's going into some high authorities. But all he has to do is believe what God said. Eat it. You've got the message. You got it through what? The pure word of God. The ones that you speak the pure word of God, they want to change. But he can even change that attitude. Gene taught me one thing since I've been here. It's not what you do. It's not what you say. It's the attitude in which you do it. Some people go, well, that was out of order. God sees the attitude in the heart. He knows. He has to go and he has to preach. Here's Jeremiah. Let's go over to Jeremiah 1. Verse 4. The word of the Lord. Notice it's the word. The word of the Lord came unto me saying. Didn't say it to everybody else. Not yet. He said it to me. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. So see, people are going to say, I'm already sanctified. It's already done. It's already finished. It is provisionally. And it is going to be practicality. But you must believe that he, his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's going to change you from glory to glory. I ordained you. I already knew you were going to be a prophet. I ordained you. I have set you apart for this very ministry. He said, I have ordained you. That means I set you apart. I ordained you. He said, oh, Lord God, behold. You ever heard people say this? I can't speak. I can't get up there and preach before people. I'm just a child. I don't know enough. Well, he wasn't looking at you. He's looking at himself. He's looking at the words of God that he's going to give him, that he's going to tell him what to speak. Don't be afraid. Oh, but the Lord said unto me, say not that you are a child. You are going to go to all that I shall send thee. If God sends you, apparently he has a purpose for it. I send you whatsoever I command you, that's what you're going to speak on. Whatever I tell you to say, that's what you say. That way when people come in and it will happen. They said that to me. They just tried to do it to me. I've been there. I've done it myself. My sheep know my voice. And if someone does do that, you should be able to know. But is that my lover's voice? Is that him? He wouldn't browbeat me like that. He loves me. He shows us why it's good to be chastened, why it's good to be corrected. Why is he sending Jeremiah to speak? He prepares that vessel. He said, don't say you're a child. Whatsoever I command you, that's what you're going to speak. Be not afraid of their faces. Oh, you have people's faces. Some people go, oh, I'm so tired of hearing you. I mean, the devil's going to put all those thoughts there. What are you going to do with it? Casting down every thought, every imagination, every high thing that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. This is spiritual warfare. We're not battling people. It's the wickedness in high places. He doesn't want you to lay hold of truth. He doesn't want you to grow. Be not afraid of their faces. Why? He gives us assurance. You don't have to be afraid of their faces. I am with you. I'm going to take care of you to deliver you. The godly shall suffer persecution, But out of them all, God is going to deliver them. And I love, he said, don't be afraid of their faces. I'm with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. It doesn't mean that you get to go, oh, thank God I don't have to speak to them. No. Just like my grace is sufficient for thee. I'm going to give you exactly what you have need of. Then the Lord, and I liked it because he said, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. My words, I put them in there. What you were eating that was so sweet to your taste, and you loved it, and now it becomes bitter. I put those words in there. See, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms. Why? We started out. There's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck up. We talked about Kevin in the fields. If he goes out early, just do it in your own time, Kevin. How's your crops going to turn out? It doesn't look the color it's supposed to be. I don't care. I am in a hurry. I'm going on vacation. I'm going to get this done. To no profit. To build, to plant. Moreover, even though he told him, he said, I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? I see a rod of an almond tree. Is there any fruit? Then said the Lord to him, thou hast well seen. I will hasten my word to perform it. Our part is to eat it, let it become part of us, and we, by God's grace, that's how it's worked out. It's him. It is both God, it to will and to do his good pleasure. But his will was what? That all men would come. The access was there. How many entered in? It was his will. They had to come. He said to will and to do. He put it in you. Are we just going to let it stay dormant? Are we really believing what he put in here? The words he keeps saying to me this whole week is, I'm going to make it beautiful in my time. You can sit and rest in that. You have to labor to enter into his rest. Notice again, it's entrance. There is a rest for you. Have you learned of me? Or are you still burdened, heavy laden? You have weights on you, trying to run a race, and you got this coming against and that coming. Get on your knees. He's the only one who has ever come in and gave his light to lighten my load. He does. He said, your burden, my burden, is light. And I don't see it as it's just light this way. When I hear the word of God, Paul, I'm not going to remove that thorn. My grace is sufficient. That'd be like Paul just went, threw the thorn off and started going. Because God said, my grace is sufficient. I could take it away. I can leave it. But you're still free. Take my yoke upon you. It's love. It's protection. It's rest to the people of God. And that's what we want. And I believe that's why he's bringing people. He's brought a pastor today to preach. Tell us the word of God. Cleanse us. Wash us. Renew our mind. What is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God? He said, don't be fashioned like the world. be not conformed to this world. That means don't be fashioned like the world. Don't be caught up in their ways and in their thoughts. I'm going to renew your mind, and I'm going to show you what is good, what is acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. You know, as I said those today, and I won't go into it, but as I said it, when I was at home, I heard 30, 60. How many of you want to be 100-fold? I want to know his perfect will. Perfect will. He's going to show it to us. And it is his both to will and to do his good pleasure. You can't do nothing without his strength, without his power. That's why, to break it down, I would say, when I went to work, everybody goes to work. We come home and go, whoa, that was a tough day at work today. I mean, I've been there. It's been hard. Lord, oh, I'm so thankful you were there. Do you know, had he not given you the grace to do that job, you would never have done it. People don't think the way he thinks. He gave you the grace to do 8 or 10 hours on the job. Then you get into tithing. He said, I did it all for you. He said, I don't need your money. That is not even what it's about. It's called discipline. You know, that's why I love talking to Isaiah. I mean, I hate saying it every time, but it's like he goes, did you make your bed? If you can't make your bed, the simple little task, and I went, oh, I didn't make my bed. We used to have to make it every day. I don't want to make it every day. But it cut me. I knew it was God. Make your bed. Every time I make it now, I look, it's the place I rest. Make your bed. Have it prepared and ready to get in there. Just like that bride, she's making herself ready. God is not going to say, son, go get your bride, until she's ready. And she's in there preparing for that day. A bride that is preparing for her wedding. There's a lot to it. There's a lot to that. But there's still a joy in it. Let's all stand.